Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and we all know that the truth will set you free, but the question we ask on this show is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And that's what Tell the Truth Faster is all about. How to get in touch more with your own truth, how to be more centered in it, how to take a balanced approach, and the freedom that being honest comes brings to us. And that freedom can come from your own inner truth. It can come from learning how to communicate more effectively with people around you in a way that is honest and truthful, so you're not withholding, and a way to communicate so that people can hear you more effectively. And the purpose of this show is to challenge people's thoughts and ideas and behaviors, and that's what we do every week. So this is a live show. It's a call-in show. If you feel like contributing in any way, there'll be no guests tonight, so either you're going to hear me speak for about 46 minutes of airtime, or you can call in and participate. Tonight's topic is sex, which we all think a lot about. Sex and relationships. And if you're so inclined to call in, if you're in the Phoenix area locally, it's 480-874-1311. That's 480-874-1311. The toll-free number, if you're listening over the internet, which I know some of you out there are, because I get your emails, is 1-888-437-7660. 888-437-7660. And I encourage those of you that I know send me some emails not to be so shy and afraid to call in and participate. You don't have to give your real name, just ask your questions, contribute what you want to, and see where it goes. So tonight's topic, like I said, is sex and relationships. Over the last few years of doing this show, I've focused on intimacy in relationships a number of times. In fact, every month or so I do a show with that title where we're just talking about relationships, intimacy issues, which includes a whole myriad of problems that people face in relationships, from communication to fear to negative beliefs they have about themselves, which interfere with relationships. And sex is always a part of that issue of intimacy. But tonight, we're going to focus specifically about sex. In this day and age, it's something that's a part of every aspect of our lives. The way products are designed, the way things are advertised, the focus on television shows, everything from family sitcoms to dramas to movies, everything has an edge, let's say, that's dealing with sex. Everything you're hearing through schools and religious organizations also certainly have their opinions about sex, sexual behaviors, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, what's a sin, what's not a sin. And we've all been raised with a myriad of belief systems, a myriad of do's and don'ts, and emotional attachments to the issue around sex. As a psychotherapist, I find when I'm dealing with a couple, or even when I'm doing an individual session with someone and they're dealing with relationship issues, sex is often one of the primary focuses. It's usually in the bedroom, if we want to be traditional about it, it's usually in the bedroom that the problems in a relationship present themselves. Through lack of sex, through the type of sex that's going on, through the distancing that's happening, but it's also where people come together and drop some of the garbage when they're finally naked with one another, and if the sex is a real compatible, passionate thing for them, sometimes it can be the great equalizer. So what we're talking about here is sex versus intimacy. And as I've said before on shows, sex can be something that enhances intimacy, and sex can be something that people use as their way of avoiding intimacy. And you might say, well, if I'm in a relationship, whether it's, you know, a marriage, whether it's a same-sex relationship or heterosexual relationship, you know, if we're having sex, how could that be hindering our intimacy? Well, how many of you have ever been in a sexual situation and felt 100 miles away, or felt that your partner really wasn't there? Sex can be used as a way of numbing. Sex can be used as a way of distracting. Sex can be used as a way of punishment. Sex can be used as a way of reward. And when it's used for anything other than a real heart connection, if it's used for in the context of a relationship, it's often then used as a way of detachment, a way of disconnecting, a way of avoiding intimacy. Now, when we're talking about sex here, we're talking about ways that it can be used that are extremely intimate. I mean, how many of you can think of a time when you truly were with a partner, whether it's somebody that you've just met, or whether it's somebody that you've been in a committed relationship, or somebody that you've been dating, and you have felt this peak connection, this peak experience, during the foreplay, with or without the culmination of an orgasm, that you felt this amazing connection, where you were there, you weren't thinking about doing your laundry, you weren't thinking about somebody else, you weren't thinking, I feel guilty about doing this and removing yourself from it, that you just felt this amazing connection with this other human being, that it was more than just the bodies connecting, that there was an emotional, a spiritual peak experience. That, to me, is when sex brings together this incredible intimate connection. Now, unfortunately, while we may have had isolated experiences like this, I'd say majority of people's sexual experience in the context of relationships often does not entail this kind of intimacy, this kind of peak experience. Usually there's a lot of struggle we bring into the bedroom, into wherever it is you're having sex, in the context of a relationship, or if you're single and sex is part of your life, then very often the acting out sexually can also be an expression of a lot of programming that's gone on since possibly even the moment of conception, depending on your parents' attitude when you were conceived, during the pregnancy, birth and delivery, and since, very often we pick up on mom and or dad's fears, judgments, discomforts about sex. And very often, their judgments and stuff came down from their parents, or from the circumstances that they find themselves in. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is the circumstances could be how they were brought up religiously or spiritually, the household that they were brought up in terms of the type of affection that they saw between mom and dad, or between, if it's, you know, two men or two women raising children, the attitude with which there's contact and passion and comfort, or whether there was this constant discomfort any time one parent reached out to touch the other, or maybe they didn't see that happening at all. And any time someone mentioned the word sex, everybody got quiet. Everybody shut up. Or mom and dad said, we don't talk about those things in this house. So what's the message that you get as a kid when you're told, we don't talk about those things in this house? The message is, number one, that we don't talk about sex, ever, or something's bad about it, something's wrong with it, it's a source of discomfort, or we're now so rebellious and curious about it that we can't get enough information or enough experience with it, which may drive somebody in the opposite direction. So we don't talk about those things in this house. Maybe one thing. And we're here, we're going to take a break here and come back and talk about those things on the show. So this is Stuart Altschul and Tell the Truth Faster, and we'll be right back talking about sex. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler. Tonight's topic is sex in relationships. And before the break, I was talking about the messages we got growing up from so many different sources, and particularly when we've heard things like, oh, we don't talk about that stuff in this house, you know, you don't ask questions like that. Or maybe as a child you asked. I remember actually being in the car with my brother, one of my brothers, and my two cousins, and my aunt was driving, and how many of you know that you might ask an aunt and an uncle a question you would never ask your mother or father? And I had heard recently, I must have been about 9 years old, maybe eight, and I had heard the word impotent, and I didn't know what it meant. And so I remember driving along with my aunt and asking, what does the word impotent mean? And my aunt, being who she was, my Aunt Mitzi, God bless her, she passed away just a couple of years ago, and she answered me directly. She says it's when usually a man has difficulty functioning sexually. That was actually, I think, how I remember her answering it. And I know that I really get the feeling that if I asked my mom or dad the same question, there would have been a lot more discomfort around it. And if I had known it really had to do more with sexual stuff, maybe I would have been more hesitant to even have asked that, because, you know, I'm a 9-year-old and stuff. But people, parents forget that kids are innocent. Kids have this sense of curiosity. Kids have this sense of not just curiosity, but the sense of innocence that's attached to it. They don't know that they're not supposed to ask questions about sex, and the truth is they should be asking questions about sex. They're bombarded with it everywhere. You know, everything from even children's shows, but even the shows that they're watching, movies that they're seeing, you know, it's not like the Dick Van Dyke Show where they still slept in twin beds in their own bedrooms. They see, you know, moms and dads on TV sleeping in the same bed just like their moms and dads might, and talking about sex and dealing with how they talk to their children about it. I mean, there are a lot of sitcoms that are dealing with the parents. How do we talk to our kids about sex? And these are the shows children today are watching. So whether it's that, whether it's, you know, the singers and musicians that they're seeing wearing sexy clothes, talking about all this stuff, they're seeing this everywhere. So kids are innocently curious, and for parents to really lay into them and make them feel like that curiosity, to ask questions, to get answers where they don't have to go to places or do things that may put them in jeopardy. If they're getting straightforward information, better for mom and dad than on the street or on TV shows or whatever where things are made fun of, mom and dad have to get through their own issues about talking about sex in order to be able to talk to their sons and daughters about it. Does that make sense? Of course it makes sense. But how many moms and dads are even able to talk to each other? How many partners, you know, whether it's two women or two men, very often, I don't care whether it's a straight relationship or a gay relationship, when I'm counseling couples, very often the most difficult thing for them to talk about is sex. So if mom and dad can't even talk to another adult about it, or if dad and dad or mom and mom can't even talk openly and ask questions or express their preferences or deal with these with issues in their own relationship, how can anyone expect them to be able to sit down with a son or a daughter or any kid that comes to them with a reasonable, curious, innocent question that, if answered correctly and doesn't instill in them some horror of sin and death and destruction and everything else, so they can absorb the information and put it to use in a more mature way as they're growing up, then what a service they're doing to their own children and to the children in their own community. Think about that for a minute. Now, how many of you listening have difficulty talking about sex in a serious way, expressing your needs and desires to your partner, as opposed to being sarcastic, passive-aggressive, innuendos, assumptions, or just hoping that your partner is reading your mind and then resenting when you're not getting what you want? All that sound familiar to any of you? Of course it does, to most of you. I had a couple I was counseling just this week, gay couple who have been together about a year, and the one of the partners, when they first met about a year ago, learned or saw some things like some toys or some paraphernalia that the other one liked using for sex, you know, in his single days and stuff, and made certain assumptions, and part of that assumption was, I will never be able to satisfy him because I'm not into that type of sex, or I'm going to have to do that in order to maintain this relationship and not let on that I'm really not as cool or advanced as he is. So what's happened after a year, what they didn't talk about and didn't know was that both of them really wanted to be kissing more and doing what, you know, you might call more vanilla sex. I mean, personally, I love the smell of vanilla and I love vanilla. That doesn't mean I don't like other things in my sex life, but the passion that comes with holding and touching and kissing and licking without anything else is, to me, the cornerstone of a healthy relationship and a healthy sex life, in or out of a relationship. If you're constantly, as a soul diet, needing external stimulations and games and toys constantly, then there is more about moving into the fantasy of the sex life than it is to relating one-on-one to the individual that you're with. And I'm not saying there's not a time and place for the toys and the games and the fantasies and all this other stuff, but what I am saying is there also has to be a time and place for the kissing, the touching, the licking, the holding, the nurturing. So here I'm dealing with this couple, and one of them had said to me privately, because I had spent a little bit, you know, time with him alone before the other one arrived, he said it's one of the issues. He said, and this is the one that it was thought he wanted more of the toys and the fantasy life. He said, you know, it's like I feel sometimes like John doesn't just want to kiss me. And I really want that. So later on when John arrives, and I'm changing the names to protect the clients, the interesting thing is John started talking about how uncomfortable he was because of the assumptions he made a year earlier and felt inadequate to please his partner, when his partner really liked being with him, enjoyed the sex, and while he liked the playtime that they've gotten into with the fantasy, was in agreement. They both wanted more of the touching and the kissing. And it was like this light bulb went off, because neither one of them, one didn't know how to ask for it, the other one didn't think the other one wanted it, and his distancing was because he felt inadequate to ever please his partner. when his partner says, I love being with you, I love having sex with you, and I want more of the things that you're talking about. And it was an error that he made the assumption that the other stuff was all that his partner wanted, the toys and the fantasy and stuff. He worked under that assumption, and for a year he's been feeling inadequate and less than. Now, the same thing has gone on in relationships with men and women that I've worked with, and with two women that I've worked with. The same stuff happens. The same problems with lack of communication. People feeling like, I don't deserve to get what I want. I don't deserve to be loved and nurtured and pleased. And so I shouldn't ask for it because I'm only going to be rejected and turned down, and then I'm afraid I'll be abandoned. So the important thing is, if two adults cannot communicate what's going on with them and what their desires are and what their needs are without this fear, then what's bringing all this fear into the relationship? Well, it may be something that's gone on previously between the two people in the relationship. More than likely, it's something they brought to this relationship from childhood or from previous relationships. Now, that makes sense, because today all of us are a composite of all the stuff we've been through our whole lives. And to be able to take a look and see what the patterns are, to see what we're bringing into this relationship that we didn't really even appreciate doing in a previous relationship, to get honest enough to tell the truth faster about those things and to put it out on the table with your partner so that your partner is aware of it and can actually help you change those behaviors or change it or stop, help you break the patterns. I think I'm making sense here. Hopefully I am. And we're going to take a break here. So you have time to sit with all this stuff and maybe call in when we get back from the break. This is Stuart Altschul and Tell the Truth Faster. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler. Tonight's topic is sex in a relationship. And basically we're talking about why is sex such a problem for most couples and how do we make it better. So part of it is, you know, why is it such a problem for most couples? Because most of us growing up are not taught that sex is okay to talk about and it's okay to desire and that you're deserving of the pleasure, and that there are healthy ways of expressing oneself sexually and there are unhealthy ways to express oneself sexually, as in compulsive sexual behaviors, as in abusive sexual behaviors, as in constantly setting yourself up for obsessing over people that that are just not available to you for whatever reason, or constantly setting yourself up to people you don't want to be available for you. So there are unhealthy aspects of it and healthy aspects of it. So one of the other reasons why sex can be such a problem for people in relationships is their own self-esteem issues, their own negative beliefs that they have about themselves that need to be identified honestly and worked on. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve pleasure. People leave me. Men leave me. Women leave me. Or the only time I know that I'm alive is when I'm being hurt and abused. So, you know, all those things need to be addressed. Otherwise, you're bringing it into whatever current relationship you have, or you're avoiding any healthy current relationship because you're afraid of facing all of those issues. And, you know, those tend to be people that are alone most of their lives and unhappy about being alone most of their lives. or in relationships where sex is not a pleasure. So why else does it become a problem? Part of it is because of religion, God, spirituality, the messages we get from our organized religion. Sex is a sin, touching yourself is a sin, you know, having impure thoughts is a sin. You know, all these things where how can you not but integrate the fact that anything that could remotely be a source of genuine heartfelt pleasure gets turned into something that removes that pleasure from you, and even in the heat of passion that you're enjoying it, leaves you afterwards feeling guilty and ashamed, even if it's with a partner that you're in a loving, committed relationship with. How many of you are in relationships and love your partner and are committed to them and feel they're committed to you, and yet you still feel guilty about sex, about exposing your body or being touched or touching genitals, and can even be naked in front of your partner? So it's important to identify the negative programming that you have. And one way that I got from actually Sanjaray in the Loving Relationships training many years ago is this very simple sentence completion. The sentence is, sex is. Sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and just start writing, sex is, and fill in the blank. Sex is, and fill in the blank. Sex is, and fill in the blank. Over and over and over again with as many different things as just stream of consciousness starts bringing up to you. You might be very surprised. First of all, you might be surprised at the number of positive things that may show up, but you might also be very surprised at the messages that come to you. And you may actually start hearing the voices of mom or dad or minister or priest or rabbi or whoever speaking these words to you that you just integrated. And it's important then to see what that list looks like. Sex is messy. Sex is dirty. Sex is a sin. Sex is something I can't get enough of, something that I don't deserve. Sex is, you know, if you have a healthier sense, you may find things sneaking in there like sex is something wonderful. Sex is something erotic. Sex is something I enjoy. Sex is, you know, all that stuff. It's important to take a look at your mind and how you have that mind wrapped around sex, or how sex is wrapped around your mind. Again, this is the beginning of how to communicate about sex, how to get past the block so that it becomes a higher experience in the context of your relationships. If you're in a relationship, it's a good thing that to have both you and your partner on your own do that same list, and then sit down and read your list to one another and ask questions and talk about it. Where did that come from? Or, you know, and don't take any of it personally. None of it's an affront to you. Okay? Don't let it become a source of an argument. Don't say, oh, that's ridiculous. Why do you even think that? Okay? Respect it and listen to what your partner is saying. Don't ever minimize it, because you have to understand that if you do that, again, you're communicating to your partner that it's not okay for them to speak their truth as it came out of their own childhood or their own previous relationships. Give them the precious honor of hearing what they have to say without judging it and without putting it down, and ask questions and acknowledge that you heard it. You may find it very, very enlightening to understand how some of those things are playing out when you're with your partner. It may help you understand it and be more patient. It may help dispel some of the things that are going on that interfere with your connection with your partner, both your list as well as theirs. Something as simple as sex is. And allow that to be the door opener for conversation. And if it's still too uncomfortable, go see a therapist together with those lists. See if a therapist can help you generate this conversation. If it's just too embarrassing still, then you know there's something even deeper about talking about sex with one another. Communication, like with anything else, being honest, is the cornerstone of any healthy relationship. Sex needs to be communicated about. Whatever messages from family or religion, schools, media. Okay? There are a lot of us that think, something's wrong with me if I'm not having sex 10 times a week, because that's what it looks like everybody on the soap operas are doing. That's what it looks like half the people in the dramas are doing, and TV and movies and stuff. You know, that's what the sense you get from you know, rock stars and everything else, that this is what they're doing. And you know what? They may be. You know, Will Chamberlain said he had 10,000 partners in the course of whatever the number was and stuff. You know, when we start hearing stuff like this, you know, how much intimacy did the guy have in his life? How, you know, it's like there was this constant need for reinforcement of who we are, and sometimes sex is the way we think we're going to get it. Peer pressure. You know, what are we hearing? We hear locker room talks of, you know, when we were teenagers, or, you know, we hear as adults, we even hear our friends talking who are single, or even talking about their relationships, and think that they're doing so much, and very often it's bravado, but we take it on as if something's wrong with me if I'm not getting more or doing more. And one way to clear up some of your own stuff sometimes is to commit to a period of celibacy. Whether it's a few weeks, whether it's a few months, that you don't masturbate, you don't have sex with anybody else, and maybe even in the context of your relationship, that both of you commit that for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're not going to have sex with one another. We're going to talk about what comes up from that sense of chosen denial, and see how it elevates the kind of conversation you're having. I've had clients do this, I've done this myself, and it's amazing how it elevates the level of intimacy between us. It may be that we're getting crazy, and we know that, you know, maybe we were just using sex as a stress releaser. That's not about intimacy, but sometimes we need to know that that's what we do in a relationship, and that's a gift we give to one another, you know, but it's important that it's not the main source of how we relieve stress. How else to relieve stress? And maybe it's something that you two start talking about. You know, what is the stress that keeps building up? And it may have nothing to do with the two of you. It may have to do with work. It may have to do with the kids. It may have to do with self-esteem issues or other pressures that someone may be having. And in the course of that, you can learn how to be more supportive of one another. Very important. You know, what do you do when it's time not to let sex distract you, but you're just going to be spending time with one another? And a commitment, a short period of commitment to celibacy can really help. If you're single, I know I did it a couple of times in my lifetime as a single man, committing to celibacy for an extended period of time helped clear the cobwebs out of my head. Help me focus and get grounded. And it's something that I really recommend, you know, because a lot of us are so distracted with sexual behaviors, issues, needs, whether it's masturbation or looking for a partner. So we're going to take another break here and continue talking about sex when we come back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. This is our final segment before the end of the show. We're talking about sex and relationships. And we've been talking about how to really improve sex in the context of your relationship or within the context of your own heart and experience if you're not in a relationship. And that has to do with getting real honest about what the baggage you bring along with this issue of sex from childhood, from all sources, and how to identify it and how to move on beyond it. And that usually comes through talking about it. Now, in this final segment, we're going to talk also about what sex truly is meant to be. But before I do that, it's important to acknowledge also how people literally use sex. And I alluded to it before with a couple of comments, how people will use sex as a reward or a punishment, withholding sex, or associating sex, well, when I get what I want, you get sex. When I don't get what I want, you don't get sex. And that's a power trip. That's the power play. That is associating sex with conditional, not lovemaking, but conditional judgment. So it's important that sex is not used in a passive-aggressive way, that sex is not something that is a way to express your aggression and anger and frustration with your partner. I mean, it's one thing to be into certain things with consenting adults. You know, if people are into submission and dominance things, you know, like to play with a little bondage and whatever it is you're into with a consenting adult, I have no problem with. But it's when people bring something like that into a relationship and become abusive sexually or, you know, really bring a sense of dominance and fear to feel that sense of power and control, and it's not part of their fantasy with their partner, but it's something that leaks in because you've had a rough day or because you have issues with men or women and you're playing them out with your partner and your partner is the one getting hurt or feeling unloved and it's reinforcing their negative belief system. It's important that you really take an honest look about how you use sex as a way of control and manipulation and a release of your own frustrations and angers. And that's what I want to say about that. Again, it's about telling the truth faster and being honest that that's what you're doing and that you don't know how to stop doing that and you want to be more intimate and more loving and not to be abusive and you need help in learning how to do that. So ultimately, when we're talking about healthy relationship, sex is hopefully a part of that. Now, you know, I know a number of couples that are not sexual in the context of their own relationships. They are very loving towards one another. They have a healthy, wonderful, committed relationship with one another, and both of them are on the same page. Neither one of them are necessarily into sex. Maybe it's a factor of age or health, or maybe it's just the fact that that's where their libidos are and they happen to have been lucky enough to find a partner who's on the same page, so it's not a struggle with one another. So when we're talking about all this, if that's what you really have going on, don't think there's something wrong with you. I mean, everybody defines that differently in the context of their relationship. To me, it's important that there is an expression of intimacy going on, whether it's touching, holding, cuddling, some forms of affection going on, because I think as human beings, we all have skin hunger, we all have that need for it. But if it's not genital and orgasmic, sometimes in the pairing of a relationship, you're at the same level of need or desire, or lack of need or desire. And, you know, don't let everything you see on the TVs and stuff somehow make you think that something's intrinsically wrong with you if you and your partner are totally comfortable with a low sex drive or a no sex drive. Now, with that being said, those of you, which I think are the majority, who do have a desire for sex and intimacy and relationship, a sense, a desire for connection, as I've defined connection before in the show, that to me intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection. And sex is one of many ways of having that connection, of having an expression of our natural desire for connection with other human beings. And when our heart is there, our heart says, I love this individual, and our eyes behold this individual as somebody that we find attractive, and there's a desire to express ourselves sexually, and you've worked through the blocks and the negative belief systems that keep you from doing that spontaneously and innocently and naturally, and your partner's done the same thing, then sex becomes, in the context of your relationship, a high point of that relationship. It becomes something that is transcendent, something that is filled with joy, something that is truly about making love, something that allows the little kids, remember I said earlier, little kids are naturally curious about their bodies, about sex. And so when you realize that you're two little kids in that bed together, getting naked and exploring each other's bodies and understanding and experiencing the innocence of that heart connection and that curiosity and that desire to be pleasured and that desire to pleasure your partner. And to me, the healthiest of relationships is when both people come into the sexual experience with a desire to please their partner sexually. If both of you are doing that same mindset, then both of you more than likely are going to come away being pleased and pleasured and feeling cared for and attended to and orgasmic. So, again, in a healthy relationship, if both of you have that same attitude of what is it that pleases my partner, and you're able to ask, and you're able to say, you know what, that's a little uncomfortable, can you move to the side, or can you try it this way, or whatever, and not feel like your partner is saying to you, you're doing it wrong, you're a bad lover, you know, all those messages that come out, but you're actually hearing your partner feeling safe enough to say, I prefer it this way, can you be a little bit more gentle, can you touch me here, this is what I like, can we explore and experiment with something that I've wanted to try, and that you're able to discuss it, ask for what you need, and not judge your partner when they ask, but be able to say, that's comfortable for me or that's not comfortable for me, and take it all to the higher level. Just because your partner is asking doesn't mean you have to do it if there is a discomfort around what it is, but be able to discuss it in the bedroom and out of the bedroom. Again, it gets back to communication, all right? And, you know, you've heard, many of you have heard many times that the sex organ is not the genitals, it's the brain. And if you clean out the mind and the brain of the things that interfere with the joy and the playfulness and the innocence, then the genitals will join forces with the brain that is now clear and connected again to the innocence and the playfulness and the joy and the passion, and bring it into that playtime, that interconnectedness. And that's what you want. You want to balance out the sex organ being the brain so that the genitals can follow suit, so that the rest of the body is in sync with your partner and with your own desires. It becomes a spiritual experience. And there are many, many religious people, when they hear someone say that sex can be a truly spiritual experience, you know, and they get their backs up because, you know, sex is dirty, sex is wrong, pleasure and all that is horrible, you know. Well, I believe that my own sense of God and spirituality is that there is God in joy, and that there is a spiritual connection when we elevate ourselves through love and an expression of that love. And so So I charge all of you to spend the next week transcending the blocks and going for that love. And this is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and we'll be back next Tuesday night. Thank you for listening. Have a good night.